Good evening. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Ian's Place. My name is Ian, and this is my place every Sunday at 7:55 Pacific Standard Time, and welcome to my show. This is talk radio, and I don't have guests. I really like for my listeners to call in and talk about whatever they want to talk about. So I want to give you the U.S. and Canada toll-free numbers. And the numbers are, for U.S. and Canada, 1-888-228-4494. The worldwide number is 1-877-489-6350. And the direct line is 530-776-5154. And if you want to call in, please call in at any time and say what's on your mind, and we'll get a discussion going. But until then, I wrote down some notes for the show today. And so the topic could be, what if you found what you're looking for? Now, a lot of people are on their spiritual path, and they're looking for something, and they know it's out there, or they wouldn't be looking for it. So the question is, what if you found what you're looking for? Would you know it if you found it? And then what has to happen before you know what you've looked... Oh, let me try this one again. What has to happen before you know what you have been looking for has been found? What thing has to be seen in your reality before you can say, yep, that's it. This is what I've spent all these years praying for, chanting for, going to psychics and shrinks for, throwing ruins for, and shuffling all those tarot cards for. I can now put my finger on the it that I have strived for. And the name of the it is, and then you fill in the blank. What is the name of your it that you have been looking for to give you fulfillment, to make you at peace? What is it that it's going to take for you to feel whole? Well, the it could be called the isness. The isness of all that there is and always have been. Life just is. So what do we do with that information? How do we put all that information together, that one simple sentence that life just is? If life just is... Thank you. Hi, caller. My name's Ian. Thanks for calling in. What can we do for you?
Hi, Ian. How you doing?
Fine.
That's good. I listen to Kevin Smith all the time here. I'm quite surprised to see that somebody else is on this evening. How wonderful. You said you wanted to speak about anything.
All right. Let's see what you got.
All right. I'm just going to pop a question to you. What's your thoughts on the Planet X theory, Planet Nibiru, or the brown dwarf star that is impending approach upon our planet come the next couple of years?
Well, that is a theory floating out there, and I personally don't get into this, and I'll tell you why. There's so many potentials out there. There's billions and billions and billions, and at any moment, any potential can take a different track. So again, just what I'm talking about, life just is, and what happens is what the universe's track is on. So if this is supposed to hit us, that's the track it's on. It's only two things are going to happen. It's going to hit us or it's not. So yep. I don't get into, you know, I believe that that's a possibility. I'm not saying it's just a rumor or, you know, false thing that people have been coming up with. I'm not saying that at all.
It's quite amazing, Ian, actually, when you look at all of the ancient religions and myths and other lore, things passed down, even from the Eskimos up way up north in Canada, you even have stories of the devastation that occurred every 3,600 years. The Mayans recorded it four times over, so if it's about to come, there's not much anybody can really do but prepare themselves. Anyway,
right.
I just thought I'd throw that at you there and get a conversation going. Good luck on your radio show here, and it's been great talking to you.
Thank you very much for calling in. Anytime.
God bless.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, you know, he's got a great thought here, and I am a firm believer that the Earth is going to be going through some turbulent times. I'm a big believer that we have global warming. I also believe that Mother Earth is kind of kicked off at us and is going to rebel in many, many different ways. And we can only look at the weather patterns to see that this is coming and has been here for the last few years with the hurricanes and the tornadoes, and we're having some major earthquakes around this planet. And I, for one, would think that we should maybe be prepared in foods and waters. You know, if it never happens, great. We have some extra food and extra water on hand. But I live in the Seattle area, and if there was a major, major earthquake, we need food and water for at least 3 or 4 days, maybe a little bit longer, that is what they say. And if we have enough of an earthquake. Well, we had a big one a few years back. We have a 7.1, 7.2. The only reason it didn't do as much damage as it should have done is because, number one, it was a dry spell, and number two, it was a very deep earthquake. And those two factors kind of saved us, because if it had been torrential rains like we get a lot up here, or if it was closer to the surface, it would have done considerable damage. So my thoughts on this is that we are headed for some major earth changes, and we need to be prepared. And if we don't, then we've just got some more water and food, and that's about it. So I would believe that we should get prepared.
We have another caller
on the line. Great. Hi, caller. It's Ian. How can I help you?
Hey, Ian. How you doing?
Fine. And you?
I'm very good, thank you. Happy Easter to you.
Well, happy Easter to you, too. Wonderful day.
Yeah, let's acknowledge you were putting on the concept of identity, you know, all right, to find your reality.
Mm-hmm.
The isness.
Mm-hmm. Have I missed something here? Am I supposed to read?
Yeah, well, you know, the topic of your show tonight is what?
What? Yes, the isness, yes.
Yeah, it's a great topic.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't hear something that you said there. It is
great. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of expand on it because it's a great topic.
Well, it's
really core to the being.
Absolutely. That's all there is.
Yeah, it's a great topic. You know, as far as kind of segueing to the concept of consciousness and isness,
mm-hmm.
I'm a proponent of the observation effect, in that if two-thirds or greater of the folks who are into tipping point of mass consciousness
mm-hmm.
were to view the physical universe
mm-hmm.
from a unified paradigm, we could change the very particles which we view.
Absolutely. There's no argument here.
Yeah.
There's none.
So think about this fear merchant concept of the end of the world and all this. You know, do you realize that we're creating that?
I'm in full agreement with you.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. Well,
so the isness.
The isness, yes. Whatever we focus on happens. And as we go into a democracy and two-thirds rule, guess what's going to happen?
A reality.
A reality, that's right.
Yeah.
What
we,
about
our
a
perceptions
reality?
Create that agreement, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm in total agreement with that. And when the Earth decides to be peaceful, which is going to be another subject matter down the road, we will be at peace. And when we think we need to go to war, we'll go to war. I mean, that is it. And when you have somebody in elected office that gets to make all the decisions, and we all agree with that decision, we go to war, which is just so far beyond my conception anymore. I don't even fathom to get war anymore. We've killed billions of us, billions and billions, over the same piece of land. You think we'd get tired of that game.
Well, yeah, you'd think that we'd all wake up to the fact that it's just wave particles.
Mm-hmm.
Solidified by agreement, you know, the lie of knowledge. Yeah, it's land, and we agree it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not worth fighting over.
No. No.
What would happen if you found it?
What would
what's
I found
it?
What's my big it?
What's your big it? I mean, what's your goal? Would you, the mirror effect, would you really be able to see yourself in it to a level of agreement that two-thirds could see it and agree mm-hmm. to it? And the idea was easy to grasp.
Well,
like peace is quite easy to grasp.
That is the easiest thing to grasp. Well, let me back up there. I think it's a hard, easy thing to grasp because I think society, social consciousness, is so dug in the murk and the mire of chaos, of anger, of
knowledge,
everything. That it takes a while to work towards peace within yourself. It's harder to be peaceful for a while than it is to stay angry and upset and cynical and gossipy and all that. It's easy to do that because we've known that as a society and that's what we accept, the behavior. And it's okay. It's okay to be all of those things. And then when somebody tries to go to be peaceful, it's a job. It's hard. And then they go, well, I've worked on this peaceful factor for so long and I'm still angry, so therefore it's not an achievable thing. So to become peaceful, it's a job. And you have to work.
Well, it's work.
It. Yeah.
But it,
well,
let's say
for
you
a while.
Said you were angry. Well, I think that the anger is basically a non-resolution of knowing that anything you want to change on the outside, you have to look at the outside and see what you have to change in self, and that war within is the core. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's an internal war.
The concept of the isness is such a cool subject.
Well,
so what would you,
I think so.
What is your isness?
What is my isness? My isness is the God within me that I am.
Yeah, the I am. Yeah.
The great I am. And once I got that. I had found my it.
I'm going to do a Here, let me share one with you. You ready?
Sure.
All right. Let's go back up above the world of motion where we truly emanate from and get that level of certainty that when you say, and everyone who is listening to your voice says, I am, and with 100% certainty, they know that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody can say that in their head right now and say, I am, without any effort, that peaceful state. And now that is the sanctuary of truth that doesn't alter, doesn't change.
You're right.
And that's where we emanate from.
Mm-hmm.
No space
when we
to communicate
get, when we get, right, when we get to the I am, when you absolutely know that who and what you are, it stays with you. What I was saying about work is we have to get rid of all the other garbage that we've been taught over and over again. And so it doesn't have to be that way. I'm not saying that you have to go through the hard times because, like you just said, I am. And if you can resonate to that in that moment and stay with that, you've got it.
How about if we just wake up everybody up to my idea of something that's very easy to grasp? Your show says, are you Quest out on the planet? What is your will?
Mm-hmm.
What's your reality? And if you can get an agreement on that, and get truly two-thirds of the listening audience above the linear flow, we could change the very particles we view and create agreements
at that
level with very light intention. With not too much force.
No, there's no force needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no,
I'm looking at your show, and I'm thinking, gosh, that's a really good subject, especially on Easter.
Well, thank you. Well, thanks for calling. And may I have your name?
Yeah, it's Ken.
Ken. Well, thank you, Ken, for calling in.
Yeah, Ken Payne, P-A-Y-N-E.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, think about that. Isn't that cool?
It is cool.
And we can change the very particles upon which we view from that state. Senior to any, you know, we're larger than any problem. We get bigger than any problem than this concept of fear about the
right.
end of the world and the 2600 or 3600 precession event.
Right.
Prophecy indicates.
Actually, yeah, I don't
yeah,
have
prophecy
any.
Prophecy indicates that this time it's not going to be this big catastrophe.
No, we can change that, like you just said. We can change that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
by the way, I don't have any problems. I just have solutions I haven't found yet. So,
yeah. Awesome.
Well, yeah. Well, thanks for calling in, Ken.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And Ken's absolutely right. Whatever we think, we will see. Here's a great story. A couple years ago, my granddaughter was 6 years of age. Yeah. Hello?
Hi, Ian. This is Pat. How are you?
Hi. Hi. How are you doing, Pat?
Good, good. I wanted to call in the last couple weeks with this question, but
okay.
I haven't been able to get on. I'm sorry that I missed the show the last couple weeks, but I have a friend here, and we had a discussion. This is a law of attraction question. We had a discussion about grief, and his question was, since grief is appropriate, how does that, or he said grief is appropriate, and how do you reconcile that with wanting to have positive emotions for the law of attraction? And I could not answer
that. What word are you saying? Are you saying grief?
Yeah, G-R-I-E-F.
I'm not familiar with that word.
Grief, like what you experience when a loved one dies?
Oh, grief. I'm sorry. Oh, all right. And now, give me the question one more time. I'm sorry, I was so hung up on that word, I didn't hear the rest of what you were saying. Go ahead.
So how do you reconcile the need, if grief is appropriate, say, when a loved one dies, you need to experience grief, and yet law of attraction says to feel positive emotions. How do you appropriately experience grief but not get bogged down in negative emotions, I guess, would be...
Got it. Now I know. I'm sorry. All right, here. There's nothing wrong with grieving. There's absolutely zero wrong with grieving. And that's not a negative. That is a bonding that we have with another entity, which is us anyway. And we have been taught that they're gone, and to grieve a loss. Well, there is no loss, but there's nothing wrong with grieving either. You're going to get over it. And about the positive and negative, those two words are the New Age words for good and bad, sin and evil, or to be a good doobie and not to sin. Positive and negative was only replacing the Christians' good and evil. And when you live in the isness, there is no good and evil. There's no positive and negative. There's no higher and lower. There just is. It's a thought, period. And the thoughts are, and we can label them, grief, if that's what you want. And you've got to listen to the words. The word grief means that you've lost something. But don't feel bad about that. That's why I want to get to that point. Don't feel bad about grieving. But if you want to take it to the other side of the pendulum, you could look at someone passing as they're going on a cool vacation. They're probably a lot better off than we are down here. And that you can stay in contact. You just can't touch them. But you can touch them at a greater level of thought and mind and feelings and emotions. You can feel them with you, which is far greater than the physical world as far as I'm concerned. But grieving is a loss. There has been no loss here. There's just a different way of being in light or the embodiment. So, and about negative, that's not negative to grieve. You miss them. I mean, that's fair that you miss them. But as far as negative and positive, when you go around thinking, I have to think positive. I'm positive. I'm thinking positive, so therefore positive things that have to happen to me. Well, what does that mean? That means that there's a negative lurking around. You are just trying to cover up with verbiage, quote-unquote, negative feelings or negative things happening to you. That's all you're doing. You're just covering something up because you can't have a positive without a negative. So you go around chanting or declaring, oh, there's I'm thinking positive, so positive things can happen to me. Well, how about this? You're thinking, if you're thinking positive, that means you're thinking also negative. You can't have one without the other. What happens if you just think a thought, period? This is what I am, and I am experiencing this, and you fill in the blank. It's just a thought. All thoughts happen. Any thought that you give something emotional charge to is going to happen in your physical life. Your thinking coagulates into mass, into matter. That's why thinking and speaking matter. It's turning it into mass. So if you want something to coagulate and appear in front of your eyes, because your eyes are the lens that is seeing the coagulation of your thought process. So if you want to see something, just declare it. You don't have to declare it positive or negative. You can just say, this is what I'm going to experience. I am going to have pizza on Thursday night. There's no positive or negative in that. If you said, I have decided not to have pizza on Thursday night, there's no positive or negative in that statement either. It's just an isness. It's just an is statement. So when you want in the law of attraction, you want to make it as clear and simple and precise as you can get. It's called the KISS syndrome. Keep it simple. I don't like to use this last word. So it's not about your positive thinking that's going to get you anywhere because you have the negative lurking around. All you do is make a clean, clear statement and then allow it to manifest. What's going to happen if you stay with the positive and the negative, you're going to make the statement, I have made a declaration, listen to the word, I have declared, this is what I'm going to do, and a couple of days later, you're going to say, was I positive enough? And when you make that statement, you're actually saying, was I too negative? Does that answer the question?
Yes, it does. That's very good. And it brings up another question.
Okay.
The Abraham Hicks emotional guidance system, where they talk about you decide whether you're heading in the right direction by whether it's making you feel angry or happy, et cetera, et cetera. Is that, how does that fit into all of this?
The right or wrong decision, is that what you just said? Based on your emotions?
Right. Like if you're faced with a choice and one of them makes you angry and one of them makes you feel free and happy and peaceful and loving, then you head in the direction, you make the choice that makes you feel, I mean, they use the positive and negative, I think, unless I'm misremembering how they describe it.
Like well, the, again,
they have
again,
above the line and below the line emotions.
Yeah. Again, I've gotten, I don't use those in my life to make my decision and my choices.
Uh-huh.
Because I have turned, there's this thing within each one of us, and I have learned how to allow it to demonstrate its power through me. That's been my journey and my goal. And so this thing doesn't have anger. It only loves. That's all it does. Anger is a human thing. So when the choices come and I make a choice, it's because I took it from the wisdom that I have gained. It's very foreign to me right now in my part of my life to think that I would think a thought that would make me angry, because I'm not there anymore. I'm not into the anger thoughts. So it's like, that's really foreign to me. At one time in my life, I don't think it was. But I don't base, when I make a choice like that and it feels right, then I do it. But if I don't have the right feeling, I don't do it. But I didn't base it on anger. It was yes or no. It wasn't, oh, I'm going to get angry if I make this decision. I don't know why anybody would make a decision based on anger. But I talk it over. I have a lot of conversations in my head. And if it's the right thing to do, that's fine. And if it's not, it's okay. Not that I made a bad choice or a good choice. It was just the choice that I made. Again, we're into the neutral isness. No more labels. It's just the way it is. This is what I'm going to do. That's my isness. And so we get away from grading, if you will, or labels, if you will. We just do. We just do it. Whatever it is that we have chosen to do. There's no good or bad, higher, lower, anger, right, wrong, none of that. It's just what I've decided.
Yeah,
it's a decision.
Even before you said this last part about anger, I was thinking perhaps this Abraham Hicks guidance system is really aimed at people who are not as far along the law of attraction path. And that, you know, and then when you said that you used to maybe have those kind of feelings but are beyond it, that seemed like, well, yes, that makes sense. It's that system is useful for people who are still trying to figure out how to do it. But once you have gotten as much experience as you have, that is no longer useful to you.
No, it isn't. It really isn't. Now, I'm going to, you know, do I ever get ticked off? Yes. You know, but it's for like 2 seconds. You know, I'm not walking on water yet, but when I do, I'll let you know. But we do all have human emotions, and a lot of them don't serve us, you know. But this is what we know. We know to look at a situation and get ticked. Can't we just look at a situation and go, that's the way it is, and not get that emotional charge? I mean, those emotional charges is a fix. We're getting a chemical fix every time we get an emotional, angry, or frustrating charge. I mean, we get that way, and we get a fix called adrenaline. It's like heroin. And that's why a lot of people go and pick up fights with people. And after they get over through the fight, they go, God, I feel so much better now that I got that off my chest. They got a chemical charge, and they're going to fix. And they're going to get another one because they don't stop arguing. They don't stop getting that high. It's just like the guy said, you know, jump off the cliffs with those little parachutes in their hand. You know, those are emotional junkies. I mean, they want the fix. They'll admit it. They get a rush. We get a rush when we get angry. And when we need that rush again, we'll go pick a fight with somebody else. That's the basis of it. And it's really hard to get off that junky habit, that emotional charge.
So that's why people like horror movies and roller coasters and all of those things?
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with them. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm just saying what's going on. I love roller coasters. I'm one of those junkies, those emotional high junkies. But I do it not with anger anymore. I don't do it with an emotional cat fights or anything. I don't go there to get my fix. I'll go on a roller coaster, you know, or I'm going to go parasailing soon. But I don't get my fix interchanging with another human being to get my chemical fix. I don't do that anymore. But I used to. So it's a matter of choice. I chose not to do that any longer in my life. And I'm so far choosing to do that. I don't get it when people fight anymore. I just don't get it. Because there's nothing to argue about. But that's, you know, that's just where I am right now.
Yeah. Well, it would be great if everyone could get to that place. Wouldn't this be a much more peaceful world?
I think so. I would vote for that. By the way, I want to talk to you very soon off air.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you for that great extended answer. That was a lot of great stuff.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, thanks. I love this interaction. I just think this is what I wanted this program to be. I wanted it to be interacting. So let me give you the numbers. U.S. and Canada is 1-888-228-4494. The number is 1-877 for the worldwide, 1-877-489-6350. And the direct line is 530-776-5154. So until somebody else clicks in, I'll continue on with what I was talking about at the top of the hour, that life just is. So if life just is, we can accept that. Wouldn't that indicate no judgments, no good or bad, no higher or lower, no sinning or just being a really good doobie? Wouldn't it indicate that if life just was and is? When we go around saying that that's the way it is, aren't we saying that we have no judgments and whatever it is, we are okay with that isness? And we do it all the time. So that begs a question. Who determines when we judge something? Obviously, we independently judge everything ourselves, don't we? We independently look at something and either judge it some way or say, that's the way it is. Okay, great. Hi, caller.
Hi there. I just kind of wanted to touch a little bit on the grief issue that you guys were covering on. And just to kind of go back just through a personal experience of mine, you know, I think that there's that space where you get in where you have this awareness, you have this consciousness, you understand that you can change your thoughts around at will, but maybe you just kind of get stuck. You're in a gray area. You're aware, you're conscious, you know the thoughts that you should be thinking, but then there's like this time and this space where you just can't seem to turn it around. And I was wondering what your advice was during those moments. And you make a declaration, but you're still feeling like crap.
Mm-hmm. You want to know my thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Okay. When we, quote-unquote, regress back to the, or we can't get out of the rut, that means that we're going through what I call a wisdom gainer. We're not finished with that particular scenario in our life. We haven't finished pondering it. And what you're doing is you're just getting over it. But you have to, you know, you're going to drive yourself crazy sometimes, but what you're doing, you're actually getting rid of it. You're purging it because you're thinking about it all the time. And you're going, I don't like this space. I want to be in the space that I was 2 weeks ago because I had this space and then I talked myself out of it and here I am again. I'm in this cruddy space, these cruddy thoughts that keep on blasting at me. You're getting rid of them. Finally, you're purging. So what you're doing is you're going over and over them, these thoughts, and then all of a sudden here comes a little thought that says, you know these things that are just driving you crazy? Well, if you would think about it this way, they wouldn't be around anymore. And you're going, oh, yeah, that's right, duh. And you will stop. You go, oh, that was my answer that I've been looking for. I covered it up a little bit, you know, with a little bit of soil. But I just heard myself give me the answer, and now I'm covering it up, and it's gone with a lot of soil. I'm burying it. It's not coming back to me anymore. I own it after this. So when you're on your journey, you're going to go up, and you're going to go down. You're going to go up, and you're going to go down. And then it gets less, and the pendulum swings extremely, one to the left, one to the right, one to the left, and one to the right. But you're giving yourself answers. If you listen to yourself, the answers are always there. And the human side of you finally gets it. And it goes, oh, oh, oh. And now the pendulum doesn't swing as far to the right and to the left, and to the right, and to the left. And the human side goes, oh. And we get another light bulb moment. Oh, yes, I get it now. And then all of a sudden the pendulum stops in the center and you own that experience. You never have to go through it again in your life because you have purged yourself. You've given yourself the time to do it. You just didn't bury it and pray that it doesn't come back. So you're just going through a phase that's going to allow you to own it fully. And not just a quick, oh, I'm out of that scenario. I'm not going back into anything like that again. But you didn't finish off. You didn't own it. And it's going to come back to you till you own it. So pay attention to it. Don't get angry over the thinking. Just lay down and think about it to your heart's content. I know it's a yucky feeling, but do. And then one day your body's going to say, I get it. Because this power within you already got it a long time ago. And it's helping you through this phase. If you allow it to help. And one day you're going to have enough. You said, I'm done. I'm done. Haven't you ever said, I'm done with something and it never came back?
Sure. Well, your advice would be that to just kind of sit with it as much as you possibly can until it passes and be patient with yourself?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
And I know that you were touching the topic of your body likes to go after the emotional high.
Yes.
Would you also consider maybe perhaps that applies in the situation as well?
Absolutely. Because when you're stressed like that, your body, your adrenaline comes surging out because it protects. It's a protection of your body. And when you get an emotional surge, it's going to come out, and you could be getting a high. Absolutely. I would not argue with that one at all. You're getting a rush. And it's okay because you're getting over them slowly but surely. But when you're done with it, you're going to be finished. And I would have to assume at the point that you are at, that you are looking at things so differently than maybe a year ago. Would that be a true statement? Would that be a true statement?
Yes, absolutely, yes. I just
so you've grown. So you've grown.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, so now you're growing a little bit more. Just
yes,
be patient
the
with
pendulum.
Yourself.
Is swinging at a more slower pace.
It's getting for the center. And when you're center, you can't be off kilter, can you?
This
you're center.
True.
You can't be centered and off kiltered at the same time. Right?
Yeah, it has been a very peaceful existence. And I think it has helped coming to the realization that your body is looking for a fix. I feel like once you kind of have grasped this reality and you can file that away in your cabinet, and then you start to recognize it and you can file them away as they come, it's been a very helpful tool.
Mm-hmm.
Great
question.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Thank you, darling. Bye.
Bye.
So before that last caller, many times we'll go around and we'll say, that's just the way it is. Aren't we acknowledging, aren't we saying that we have no judgment whenever we say that is the way it is? We're okay with that isness, that whatever that isness that we're talking about. So we have, so that begs of the question, if we're okay with it sometimes just being the way it is, who determines when we judge something? We obviously independently judge everything ourselves. I judge the way I judge, you judge the way you judge, she judges the way she judges. And we look at something independently and we either judge it or we say that's just the way it is. So why judge sometimes and just the way it is the other? That's a good question. So what is the determining factor of judging versus the isness? What determines in our, within ourselves whether it is to be judged or not judged? It's you. We are the ones who think if something is good or something's bad, if something's higher or something's lower, if something's positive or something's negative, if something's evil and sinful or it's good and gracious. We get to determine all of those. But most of the time, we say that in the context of how we've been taught by social consciousness. Social consciousness has told us and defined for us what is good, bad, sinful, good, or good and bad, positive, negative. 1 second. So I would have to say, on those on their journey, you would have to get away from social consciousness thinking, because if you step outside of the box, if you step outside of their type of thinking, of what they have determined, which is good and bad or positive and negative, you are outside of the box. And you are going to be condemned just for thinking independently. Isn't that sad? If you think outside of social consciousness, they will judge you. Because, and all you want to do is grow. So you got to get pretty tough-skinned. Or they're going to draw you right back into it. So we have to start determining, listen to the words, what we are, how we are going to look at life. Are we going to look at this is the way it is? Are we going to go around judging it? And when you judge it, you put yourself in a box. And the box is usually social consciousness. If you want to grow and you want to get out of this box that is holding you in, it is got its four walls up and you can't get out and you're screaming and yelling and saying, I want to find the it that will make me peaceful, you've got to stop thinking the way you're thinking. You can't find it thinking the way you've been thinking all your life, because it's not there. It's outside of the box thinking is where you're going to find it. A friend of mine the other day told me all he wanted to be was content. That's his journey. He wants to be content. So we have to ask, will he know when he's found contentment? He hasn't found it so far in his past. He hasn't found it because it's not there. His future can't be proven yet. It doesn't exist. So that leaves the now, this moment. But what happens with many is that they live in the future now. Their now, right now, is filled with future prospects, future potentials, future expectations of what happens to become, what has to happen to become content, rather than just being content in this moment, this now. As a society, we're always becoming instead of just being. So how do we become content? We can't. We can never become content. We have to be content. You can't become something. You have to be it. And once you be it, you're not becoming it. You're already there. So in our past, we have experienced pure happiness, pure contentment at various times in our lives. We know and remember what it feels like to be content. We would prefer to feel like that all the time. That's a good feeling, to be content. Wow, how nice is that? So since we absolutely already know what it feels like, and we reminisce about it time to time in our lives that it felt so good, so natural to be peaceful. So the question again begs itself, if we feel content sometimes, why not all of the time? Because we know it's a possibility. So what is it that stops that wonderful, warm, fuzzy feeling inside of it? What stops it? Our thought process, pure and simple. The thought process that either lives in the past and dredges up all the bad stuff that's happened, or we dredge up the future, which doesn't even exist yet, and we put all these terrible things into the future. No wonder we're not content. No wonder we're not peaceful. We have the uglies that we're dealing with that we refuse to get rid of. We just refuse to get rid of them. You know why? Because they feel good. It feels good to be uncontent. You know why? I'll tell you why. It feels good because when we feel yucky, we can go to other people in our now and declare our uncontentedness. And those people in our lives that love us, they will baby us, and they're going to pay attention to us, and they're going to try to soothe us. And we want to be touched in some way, either mentally or be touched physically. So the way to be touched is to be sad, angry, sick, mentally or physically, to be uncontent, to play martyr or victim. Most people around you will come to your aid and touch you, physically or with soothing words. We now have our fix because we told everybody how miserable we are. Instead of saying to ourselves, I am choosing to be content in this moment, and I can draw upon that experience. I've had it in my past. I know what it feels like. And so instead of being uncontent, I am choosing to be content and peaceful. And how do you do that? Well, number one, you got to get rid of all the other people around you because they're your crutch. You go find a nice quiet spot. You take in some deep breaths and you draw on that experience of peaceful and contentment that you've had in the past. You know what it feels like. So now you've put yourself with two choices. Either stay playing the martyr or the victim or being uncontented, or get yourself into a quiet spot, breathe deeply, and remember that feeling of being contented through your whole body. You can do that. You have the power of changing your mind. That's why it was given to you. You have the ability to change your mind. And once your mind is changed, your body follows it. And so does your physical reality and what you see in front of you. If you still want discontent in your life, keep thinking the way you've thought in the past and you're going to see that in your mirror. It's going to bounce right back at you. And all the things that you are seeing are going to be uncontented things, so you can stay uncontented. Once you have mastered being at peace, being content, then that's the things that you are going to see. That's what you are going to experience in your life. How simple can this get? And part of that is the isness. There is no judgment in the isness. It's just the way it is. How peaceful can that get? How simple can that get? Choosing chaos in your life, which you're going to create on your screen. It's your movie. It's your palette. You get to play it, paint it any way you want. Are you going to paint chaos on your palette? Or are you going to paint a peaceful scene? A painter can take the paint and he can do all these brush strokes and depict a terrible scene of hell and fire and brimstone, and that's what he sees on his palette. Or the same painter can paint the most beautiful scenery that's peaceful and water and birds, and that's what he sees. And he has that choice, and so do you, every one of us. We have the God-given right to choose how we are going to view life. We are going to view it with hate and discontent and anxiousness, or we're going to view it with love and giving and peace. It's a choice. Which one are you going to choose? It's up to you. And whatever you choose will. It's called will. Free will of what you choose to look at life as. And it is that simple. So, this is a process. It's not an overnight success story, even though that's a possibility. You can choose it this moment and stay with it for the rest of your life and never look back. And you stay in this moment because it's the past and the future that drives you crazy. And you can't even prove that the future is here. We can't prove right now that 30 seconds from now is going to happen. So how are you going to think in the next 30 seconds? The past we can't change. There's not a thing back there that we can grab a hold of and say, oh, I'm going to... Okay, let me back up. You can change your past. But we'll get into that later. But right now, in human consciousness, you can't change your past. And you think about the past, and it drives you insane. Why wouldn't you, when you started thinking about the past and the things that are driving you insane, why wouldn't you say, stop thinking about this and look at something else that's peaceful, to change your mind immediately? It can be done in a couple of seconds. Why do you stick with the ugly thoughts? Because that's what makes you feel good. Because once you get into the ugly thoughts, you have enablers to help you continue thinking ugly thoughts, because they are going to comfort you, and that's why it feels good. And we only think what we want to think, because if you didn't want to think what you're thinking, the chaos, you would definitely be thinking of something else. So you want to do it. You want to think about the uglies. And that's okay, because you're learning from them. But when you want to get out of the ugly thinking, you have to train, new word, train, think about it, train habits, bad habits. There's not good or bad, but I'm going to use it just for conversation's sake. Habits that drive you insane, they're just pure habit. Change your habit to think to thoughts that don't drive you insane. Just change them. It's easy. It's done in a half a second. Think from uglies to walking on the beach and getting that feeling from walking on the beach. I wish I could have more words. Words are so limiting of how easy this is. We make it easy slash hard, but it really is easy. And once you get into this thought process change, then you will be able to look back eventually and say, ah, why was I ever there? Why did I torment myself with the ugly thinking? Well, my time's up. Thank you so much for calling in. Please call in again. I just love it when you guys call in. And I will see you next week at 7:55 Pacific Standard Time. Until then, you have a wonderful change-minding week. Talk to you later.